good time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the show if you so desire. She'll come on the program here in about an hour. Dale Jackson from Yellowhammer News and from WVNN, a Huntsville radio station. And in the 11 o'clock hour, my friend Paul DeMarco will make time for us. Joining us now, it's time for his regular appearance. State Representative Shane Stringer joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Thank you again for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming by or coming on. We always appreciate it. Hey, I was thinking about this the other day. The Glock switch band, isn't it great that y'all went through all this trouble? And I know you had to vote for it, but you went to all this trouble to make sure this got done, and crime has dramatically decreased with more regulation. Well, I guess even just an enhancement on a existing federal regulation on firearms.
Yeah, I don't think it's played a big part in anything, really. I mean, it was already against the law. The feds were already prosecuting it in our area. So, you know, I guess it's something that you know, somebody can hang their hat on that we did pass it, and it is there, I guess, if the state prosecutors want to use it.
Yeah, I just these feel-good measures and, you know, next thing is, and I don't think they'll be successful, but the next thing that you hear whenever there's some kind of calamity, it's just, let's go after constitutional carry. We need common-sense gun laws, Representative. So it's always something with these guys. And I think that the point here, I guess, to make is like, look, we did it your way last time and nothing really changed. Why should we listen to you now?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always the topic whenever we're in Montgomery. It's, you know, we have to take the next step. Yeah, it's going to work, but we've got to do this too for it to work. And then when that don't work, then we've got to do this too for it to work. And, you know, we all know that is not the solution. The solution is to put bad people in prison and, you know, for us to harass and give the criminals a hard time, just like they are the law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just, you got to have that willingness to really move on crime. And I guess, fortunately, now I know we had the incident in Montgomery a couple months ago. But what are you hearing out there? What are you seeing big picture wise? Like, and I know there's these a lot of state involvement now, but do you feel like it's just sort of things are starting to come into place and work maybe on a more broad scale with the state having to intervene in a lot of these municipalities to take on crime?
Well, I think it is helping. I think the task force that was created by the governor and others is absolutely helping. It's a similar approach that we use right here in Mobile. Anytime there's issues in other agencies that need it, you know, where the sheriff's department and any of the local task force, whether it be the FBI Violent Crime Task Force or the DEA Drug Task Force, any of those task force will come together and they will look and dissect problems and go in and try to reach out, you know, and work on those particular issues, and whether it be gangs, whether it be robbery squads or whatever, and try to address that. And it absolutely helps. So, I mean, it's the same approach that President Trump's taken with the military and some of the cities that have massive crime problems. I think that it's, you know, those approaches absolutely work. Anytime you can add more law enforcement on the street, you're going to reduce crime. The presence of law enforcement reduces crime by itself.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Hey, now in this year's session, earlier this year, you know, once and for all, the legislature was able to kind of crack down on, I don't know how you put this, but they were able to do something with the Birmingham Waterworks and get that situation. It remains to be seen how that's going to play out. But talk about this, if you would, Mobile. or, you know, any of the other water systems that are in place here, and you're very been very involved on the Big Creek Lake situation, but to me, kind of watching that, it exposed something else that you have an all-powerful laws, and they're just not interested in what the public says, and they're going to do it their way. Is it a valid concern or a valid, you know, thinking here that maybe we need to do something in our part of the state on some of these all-powerful water authorities?
Yeah, absolutely. Something needs to be done. You know, we've seen it in other areas of the state and right here at home, where the water board is appointed by, you know, other elected officials, and these are high paying positions, high paying appointments, and they're going in there and basically, in my opinion, doing whatever they're being told to do by the ones that are appointing them. And it's just not being done right. It's you've got unelected officials that have no accountability making decisions for our communities. And we've got to find a way to address that and put some checks and balances in place for that.
Well, and, you know, doing that in a way other than just having it on the ballot, and I guess it's like it's the Elliott thing with you don't want these self-perpetuating boards. But when we do have an issue and it crops up, and Big Creek Lake's a perfect example, and, you know, you can't really go to City Hall because then you just see people just shrug it off, like, you know, like, well, they have this authority, they have this power to do whatever they want to do, and we're not really allowed to intervene. But I guess that you have to go with this like nuclear option almost and reconstitute their boards.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's probably going to have to be done here eventually, because something needs to be done. You know, for one thing, we've learned is that there are no representatives on the board from the areas around the lake and even in Pritchard and Daphne, other areas that are represented by malls. They have no board members present. So, you know, that's a possibility that needs to be addressed. To make sure that we've got, you know, somebody from each district, because I can assure you that if there was somebody on the board that's from the Tanner Williams area or the Big Creek Lake area, they would not have been agreeing or going to, you know, to some of the options that has been brought up in shutting the lake down and just prohibiting fishermen and outdoors people to use the lake.
Well, is it a matter of, and then there are two issues in Birmingham where you had a water authority that was drawing water from a place and there was no representation. That was Blount County. And then you just had customers who were not represented on the board because it was so controlled by the city of Birmingham and the power structure there. That do you think that is... those are some of the ways you get to this problem. You figure out, you look at the map and you say, these are the areas that are impacted by this. And these are the areas that need to have a voice on that board.
Yeah, absolutely. You do a deep dive in looking at this, and then you know, start coming up with some solutions and whether to add a member or change up the areas that these members represent. And that way you get proper representation across the board in addressing issues. And then you're probably not going to have the lake being shut down to fishermen and outdoors people because of, you know, there's nobody but representation but from the city of Mobile.
Well, what do you say, though, that they're trying to, I guess, offer some concessions and have a park and boats and, you know, really, really try to regulate it? Is that nearly enough in your mind?
I don't think so for several reasons. One, you know, we've just recently had a citizen out in the Tanner Williams Sims area that the water board signed a warrant on and had him arrested for trespassing on a critical infrastructure. But yet they're talking about doing a boat rental concession out there for the citizens to get on the same water and fish, you know, which I don't know how you can do both. I mean, either it is a critical infrastructure and no one can be out there, or either it is not, and, you know, you can rent boats or do whatever. So I don't know. I think there's, you know, I think that the best thing for Moss to do is to open the lake back open, and let's put a boat wash in place like it was before, and let's man that, and let's return this resource to our citizens like, you know, it should be.
Here's a question, and we're heading into this 2026 election cycle. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about highways, particular Highway 45. But you look at other things that might be on that certainly need some attention. And I, you know, you find the best time to get these guys' attention on these things will be during an election, during a campaign. With the exception of AJ McCarron, they're taking questions and they're, you know, like, these are concerns. What do you see out there? I think ALDOT's certainly at the top of the list. Education's always up there, but I don't know that there's, you know, what exactly do you want? Well, we want better results. Okay. You know, but we really start talking about policy specific things. What are you looking at in the 26th cycle?
I don't know. I think there's, you know, always room for change and growth in government. But I think that we've got to look at better transparency with ALDOT and how we're doing that, and try to, you know, make sure that we're spending our money wisely across the state and not just in populated areas. If we continue to spend infrastructure money in populated areas, then the unincorporated will never grow, and, you know, it just repeats a cycle. So we need to address that. I think the prisons, we've got to address that. We can only kick that can down the road for so long. It's, you know, it's got to be addressed. We've got to build prisons. We've got to increase correction officers and make that a safer environment for our correction officers and employees. There's lots of growth. I think we've got a lot of stuff going on. The education, we are moving in the right direction. I'm seeing some positive change coming there, but still lots of room to grow there. I think the different stuff that we're seeing with the government itself is, you know, running fairly smooth. But I think with a new governor, you're going to see a lot of change come in, a lot of new department heads, and a lot of things that are going to hopefully spark some new interest, new thoughts, new opinions of what we can do to make our state better.
And you bring up prisons and you bring up road construction and scrutinizing like how we are doing it. And here's the problem I run into as a member of the media, just trying to do the blocking and tackling, but like the price of construction in the state and the way the state procures these things, like it's hard to know if we're getting take it to the cleaners as the taxpayers, or, you know, if this is just what things are now. And there's like, especially with ALDOT, like, is this road really a $1 billion road? Is this bridge this much? And, you know, and then we saw this with the prisons, and the prisons is such a great example. We went from a $630 million facility to a $1.2 billion facility in the span of like just a few months. Are a few years, I guess, at best, but like the checks and balances there. And I know you have committees, you have contract review and the budget hearings and things like that, but so much of that is predestined for, well, you know, whatever. And it's at the executive branch's discretion. Like, how do you get that transparency? And once you do, even if you get it, how do you know, like, what you're looking at if it's fair market value?
Yeah, good question. It's going to take a lot of people that are in similar industries or in a finance industry that's aware of the cost of, you know, construction and stuff across the state, not just the state, but the world. And that can help, you know, let's make sure we're keeping this in check. And then, you know, it's just like the Highway 43 corridor project they were looking at. I think just the engineering our architect work on that was going to be like a million a mile, which is, you know, unbelievable for me. I don't understand why it would be that, because I don't understand that industry or whatever. But yeah, we've got to ask questions and do deep dives on these kind of issues to make sure that we're getting the most bang for our buck. I know at one point, you know, it was, you know, we've seen a lot of change orders coming through. People would bid on projects and, you know, the lower bid might get the project. And then, you know, by the time they add a few change orders into the project, they would have been the higher bidder. So it's, you know, just needs a lot of checks and balances in place. And you've got to take and put the right resources that are available, the right people that are familiar with this and know what they're doing in the right supervisory and positions to be accountable for this and make sure that we're holding people accountable and being wise and prudent with our taxpayers' money.
Well, this is what bothers me, though, is like, okay, we can't widen 65. We can't widen 45. We can't widen this road. It costs too much. Well, how much is it? We're not, you know, and I never want to tell you that part of it. And like, how do you do that? How do you deal with that? Because even the road builders, they don't want to divulge that. I feel like that we don't really have a transparent marketplace in Alabama at all when it comes to these big, big ticket items.
No, you're 100% correct, and that needs to be addressed. And hopefully, you know, the new administration coming in, that will be something they will take a look at, and we can put some checks and balances in place. And you know, we need some people that's going to be tough and go in there and make sure that things are being ran right and make sure that we're getting the most bang for our buck when it comes to any of these projects.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but you're always very kind to come on this show. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a good week. Good week.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Mr. The whole